from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
All right, having a lot of fun here on Independence Day. Shout out to everyone out there on the barbecues, whether you got the hot links, the bratwurst, whatever sausage is on the grill. Of course, accompanied, I'm sure, by a tall, cool refreshment. Shout out to you, Evan Giddings, Jason Dumas with you on 95.7 The Game. We're talking about the Golden State Warriors, and I think it's appropriate, Jay, July 4th, you know, 8 years ago, this was the day they got Kevin Durant, shook up the world. In your words, may or may not have cheated a little bit, but the fact remains.
Do not get these Warriors fans on me, brother. Do not get them on me. They come for me hard.
Now, the last thing we need is to aggregate Jason Dumas anymore. It's been a wild 72 hours, but I appreciate you falling on the sword for us, brother.
Oh, yeah, of course, man. Built for it.
Built for it. Philly tough. Is that a thing? Or Philly strong? Or
Philly tough, I guess. I don't know. That's not really a phrase, but I guess, you know, we're thick-skinned. You got to be thick-skinned on the East Coast half the time. People are so rude. I come down here and almost it's like,
how's your day?
I love it here.
How are you?
I love it here. Let me preface it with that. Trust me, I love it here. I love Northern California.
You're in a nice spot too.
Yeah, beautiful.
You're in the city.
Beautiful. Most beautiful place I've ever lived. But I came up here and people were so polite. I almost like mistook it for like passive aggressiveness. I'm like, what is like, what? Do you want to say something? What do you really got to say?
Then I'm like, you don't really want to know how I'm feeling.
Then it's really like, you know what? Maybe they're actually just care. They're being nice.
It's funny you say that, because so you've moved from east to west. I've moved west to east and then back. I did feel that way a lot of times with people like in the Midwest, because it was
I've lived in the Midwest too.
Exactly.
I lived in every pocket. I lived in Deep South, Louisiana. I've lived everywhere.
Where'd you live in the Midwest?
Bismarck, North Dakota.
Dude, I lived in Fargo.
Oh, man. So yeah. We've both been in the trenches.
Yes, the winters.
Oh, man.
Dude.
Fargo's better than Bismarck, too. I mean, neither of them are.
At least you guys got a hill. I swear, Fargo's as flat as this table.
Bismarck's pretty flat, too. So Bismarck's the state capital, but Fargo is like the bigger city. And
city slickers.
Probably probably a little better of a social life. You're right there on the border of Minneapolis. Bismarck, we're dead center of the state. State capital, like I said. Neither of us are writing home anything. But
people out there are way too nice. It was freaking me out.
Yeah, people are really nice. So like, it's funny when I go home to visit after a long stint out here. I try to get back to Philly at least like 4 times a year. So that's like every 3 months. But mm-hmm. You know, every now and then it'll be a little longer. And it's like noticeable immediately. Like I will get off the plane and be on the airport and like waiting for my baggage or like trying to talk to somebody at the counter. And I'll like ask how you're doing or like, hey, how are you? And ignored. How can I help you? What do you want? And I'm like, and it's jarring. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm back in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And for my whole life, that was pretty normal. Like, that's normal. So you don't notice it. But then when you come back, you just realize how much friendlier people are on the West Coast. It's just, I don't know why. It's just a thing. It really is.
No, I've felt that way as just like kind of a tourist. Is I used to work in minor league baseball, and we'd move around everywhere in the East Coast. So, like, I mean, some pockets are a little more kind than others. But yeah, like east side of Pennsylvania, you run into a couple of, you know, a little bit harder, tougher folk. And I'm like, you know, walking around smiling, just, you know, I don't know, my California grin or whatever.
Yeah.
People are like, who the F you smiling at? You know, I'm sorry, I'm happy, God forbid.
I think weather has a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
Like, when it's, especially in the Bay Area and in Southern California, like, we'll just take the Bay Area, for example. When it's between, like, 55 and 80 degrees, like, the entire year, doesn't really dip much above that. Obviously, in some pockets of the Bay, it does. But really, nowhere around here dips below 55, unless you're, like, up Tahoe. It's easy to be happy when you're looking around. Like, when I just moved here and I'm walking down, it's my first Monday of work. I'll never forget it. I am walking to work from Hyde and Filbert in Russian Hill. That's where I lived for a couple of years when I first moved here. And I'm walking down this hill. I can see like Alcatraz, the water, palm trees. I never lived anywhere where palm trees were. Yeah, I didn't even like, and I'm like, this is why these people are so happy, mild-mannered, and like just even keeled. Now, think about walking to school or walking to the bus stop, and it is 24 degrees, it's snowing, the wind has the snow blowing sideways, and it's hitting you in your face. A little easier to be a grumpy.
Yeah.
That's at least 3 months a year.
And you dread going outside.
Yeah.
And it's harder to be kind.
So, like, I think the, you know, everybody can come up with their reasons, but I think the root of it is just weather. I really do.
Especially
it is so easier to be in a better mood when it's nice out.
I mean, Exhibit A, July 4th, 2024. It's like 82 degrees outside. It is beautiful.
If you get in an argument with someone today, something really must have ticked that person off.
Exactly. This is a feel-good day. We got fireworks coming up later. You can also catch Jason Dumas on TV later, right? On Kron?
Yeah, yeah. 6:45, 10:45, and 11:20-ish. Kron 4.
Hardest working man on holidays. We got you locked until 4 today. Spadoni and Lubman tomorrow from 8 to 12. And then we're back at it from 12 to 4, covering everything going on in NBA free agency. Right now, the Warriors' latest move is the official signing of Buddy Hield. 3 for 21 last year, partially guaranteed. That's from Shams Charania of The Athletic. 888-957-9570 is the number. Have the Warriors exceeded, underachieved, or been right where you expect them to be in free agency? Feels like there's something on the horizon, but I'm not sure it's going to be the big striped bass that everybody's looking for. Let's get out to the phone lines. In San Francisco, Eric's been hanging on patiently. Number three, Carter. Number three. Eric, what's up, my man? Happy Independence Day.
Happy 4th of July, guys. Just been enjoying a nice little walk, listening to you guys talk about the Warriors, and thought I'd weigh in with my 2 cents.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, you know, you guys asked what I thought about Dunleavy's performance so far, and I'd actually say Dunleavy, since he took over, really, I mean, you can't say it's A, but I would say it's a strong B, because he's drafted well. And when you look at it, like you guys said, he got a Ferrari with 200,000 miles on it. I mean, he inherited Jordan Poole's contract, and the fact that he was able to get off Jordan Poole, Ryan Rollins' contract, Patrick Baldwin's contract for a pick between 20 and 30 in 2030, that would convert into two second-round picks if it doesn't convert. That's a great trade. Signing Melton, that's a solid trade. Turning Klay Thompson into Kyle Anderson and Buddy Hield, that's a solid like trade. And so I think that he's done a really good job given the constraints that he's had. And in terms of Markkanen, I would argue against Markkanen simply because if you give up 4 first-round picks that are unprotected, I don't think he raises the ceiling given the competitiveness of the West to the point where the Warriors would be hamstrung for basically the next 5 to 7 years if they traded all those first round picks. So I just don't see Markkanen being the right number two to go all in on. And I think the Warriors could be like a 38-45 win team, and if things really went well, maybe more than 45 and like an 80. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Thanks, Eric. I'm kind of with you. I think, Jay, they've right now, as of now, they've sort of capped their ceiling. I mean, I don't think that they're a top four seed, might not even be a top six seed as currently constructed. But if things swing their way, they might be able to fall into something. I'm still reserving judgment for when and if the offseason's completed.
Right. No, if the season ended as, or offseason ended as is, and this was kind of their roster, I think they're a tad better than last year. Last year, they end up the 10th seed. But honestly, between 5 and 10, if you go look at the standings, I think it's like a 2.5 game difference between 5 and 10.
Yeah.
It was really close. It was a lot of parity. Really, it was really, in my opinion, and it's funny because none of these teams actually won the West. So this comment might sound stupid, but it also might make my point as it pertains to parity. At least during the regular season, though, it was really a 3-team race. OKC, Minnesota, and Denver. And then there was a drop, in my opinion. Golden State, Sacramento, New Orleans, Lakers, Clippers, Mavericks. Was there a huge gap between those teams? Probably not. Obviously,
if Kawhi Leonard stays healthy, who knows? Yeah, Clippers might have beat the Mavericks in the first round.
100%. And then, like, playoffs are also matchup-based. Like,
very true.
If the Mavs were the 6th seed or the 7th seed, which they very well could have, they were like a game above that, and they got a different matchup, would things be different? Probably. That's why this whole thing where it's like the Mavs are right there, I don't think so. I think the Mavs are still going to have to fight for their lives next year. They're probably going to be a mid-tier team. And, you know, maybe they get the right matchup and get a little hot and they make another finals run. But I don't think they're this trending up team, and all of a sudden, because they made the NBA finals last year, they're going to be one of the best in the West. I don't. I still think Minnesota is better than them, even though they didn't show it in the playoff series. But I think Minnesota is going to have a better season than them. I think OKC is going to have a better season. And probably Denver is going to have a better season, even though I do not like Denver's all season. But my point is, I think next year is going to be a lot of teams jumbled up. So let's say, in my opinion, the Warriors are a little better. Last year was good for the 10th seed. I am going to assume that Draymond Green is more reliable this year.
You kind of have to.
You have to. Like, last year has to be as worse as it can get, you know? So you're going to assume Draymond will play more games. Steph might play a little less because Steph played 70-something games last year, right?
Yeah.
So maybe Steph will play a little less, but I will put this team in the 7th spot. It'll still be a play-in, and, you know, they'll be a 7th seed, but, you know, the rest of the teams that are 6-5-4 Warriors could be conceivably just as good. Just what I thought it was this year.
No, I'm with you. I also think, look, I know everyone checked out the West last year. Like, there's 550-win teams. The Warriors had 46 wins. That got them to a 10 seed. A year after, a 42-win team got them to, might have been 44 wins, got them to a 6 seed. I also think there's room for teams in the West to take steps back. I don't think the Clippers are going to be as good as they were last year. I don't think the Los Angeles Lakers are going to be as good as they were last year. I think there's a couple, maybe even Dallas could take a step back. I probably have Dallas a little bit higher than you do, but, you know, I think we're splitting hairs there. You know, I think the Warriors can be better than the Kings, depending on if the Pelicans end up betting correctly on someone like Trey Murphy and DeJounte Murray, who are going to be players that are asked to step up and step out, then maybe that's a team that could be better, might not be. I think the Warriors are a team that's, you know, kind of in the thick of the play-in right now, no matter what they do. If they add a Lauri Markkanen, I think that would elevate them to a top 6 seed cemented. assuming health, which is also a big part of this too, because your best player is 36 years old. Yeah. Right now, your second most impactful player, Draymond Green, is 34 and has had back issues even when he's not getting suspended. So, you know, you are reliant upon health, but that's why I do think that the moves that Dunleavy made were intelligent, because it's not just replacing production, but it's also getting younger, getting players that you can rely on more. I think Melton and his 38 games might be a bit glaring, but he's also 28 years old. I would expect him to play a full season. I expect Buddy Hield to be on the floor every night. Since he's stepped into the league, he's played 97% of possible games. Kyle Anderson has been someone that you can rely on being available. So you also have a younger core that can step up when Steph Curry is going to need to be load managed, when Draymond Green is going to be load managed. I think there's a lot more dependable depth on this team than last year. I think we used the word depth for last season's team, Jay, because we just didn't really know how to define them.
Right.
And there were a lot of Jags, quite honestly, just another guy.
Yeah, 100%. I say that all the time. There is depth. It's
3 through 12, I didn't know who was going to be good.
No.
Like, I just didn't.
They're all the same. Like,
even though there's some of the same faces, I think the younger players will get better to identify themselves as non-Jag level.
Right, right. No, it's like, I likened it to having when a coach says they have two quarterbacks. It's like, if you have two quarterbacks and neither of them are separating themselves, you don't really have one quarterback. That's just how it is. It was like the war. That's kind of how Steve Kerr's rotation was. There's literally like six or seven interchangeable pieces, and there's not going to be much of a drop off. And that's not good. That's not good. People think it's good. People are like, oh, you're so deep. Coaches don't need 11, 12 men rotations.
I'd like to know who's going to play.
Exactly. Like Steve Kerr, you could tell that man was stressed. Like, all right, who do I play tonight? Who's getting minutes? There's just so many minutes to be had. Those decisions need to take care of themselves more, because you need a couple guys who are head and shoulders better than the rest. We know these guys are playing because they're better. Warriors didn't have that. Warriors had Steph Curry, Draymond Green to a degree, and then really, after those two, mix and match, plug and play, and more or less the same team, really. And that's not a good thing. It really isn't.
No, I mean, I think the word combinations and optionality were used a lot last year because there wasn't the words definition.
Yeah.
Like, there wasn't the word hierarchy. There wasn't any reason to believe that a particular player was going to replicate. Even someone like Klay Thompson, he was your second leading scorer last year, but you brought up a great point earlier, Jay, that it was just too few and far between. Like, you didn't know which Klay Thompson was going to be there last year.
Mm-mm.
And he's a member of the big three. The only player you could depend on last year was Steph Curry. And you might not be able to depend on him as much this season. 888-957-9570 is the number. Let's get out to Mark in San Francisco, number one. Mark, what's happening, my man? Happy July 4th. How are you?
Hey, how you guys doing? Happy 4th of July. Yeah, I just wanted to piggyback on. I just wanted to piggyback on the off season that you guys are giving Dunleavy praise for, and I think he's actually done a pretty good, admirable job. I mean, losing Klay Thompson, I mean, obviously that's a tough pill to swallow. But adding you got a shooter, you got a defender, and a point forward in Kyle. I really do like the signing and the progression that they're going toward. I mean, what do you guys think as far as what else needs to be added with the whole rotation? I'm in a boat where I kind of don't want to trade the whole farm for Markkanen. That's just me. I think there's other players out there in the league that could, you know, will do an admirable job within the system. But giving up on Kuminga, especially watching him grow, I think that's too much of a gamble. What do you guys think?
I kind of agree, Mark. I think it's a big gamble. But then again, you know, if like Markkanen's fit with the Warriors, I think would elevate them significantly. And he is a player in his prime. I think he would fit the Warriors system. But I'm generally with Mark, Jason. I would not be willing to mortgage my future to give the Warriors one or two cracks with Curry at trying to see what you can do as a 5 or 6 seed, personally.
See, I would. You just, in my opinion, you just, whenever you have someone of the ilk of Steph Curry on your roster, you always have to be in go-for-it mode. I think the last 2 years have been tiresome. I get it. They won a championship, going on 3 years ago now. And you can't win championships every year. I mean, that's the goal, obviously, but it's not realistic. But, look, I think if you're going to just go nostalgia vibes, you keep Klay Thompson. You got rid of Klay. You got to go for it. You do. You got to go for it. If it doesn't work out, I wouldn't blame Mike Dunleavy. It was like, all right, he traded this for Lauri Markkanen and it never worked out. You can't predict everything. What if it does work out? Like I said, the Mavs won the West. They were the 5 seed last year. So all you got to do is get in the race and have like two guys who can really, really help you. So I would do it. That doesn't mean I don't value Jonathan Kuminga or Moses Moody. I think I actually value those two more than most. But I also know, like, I just don't think you're going to be competing with Steph Curry in the next 2-3 years with those. I think Lauri Markkanen is head and shoulders better than ahead of both of them right now. I do. Now, if you want to wait for Jonathan Kuminga to get to the point where he can be one of those guys to help lead deep playoff runs, I think by the time he gets to that type of player, which is very possible, Steph's going to be like pushing 40. Seriously, Steph, he's 36 right now. He turns 37 during the season next year.
Yeah. I mean, that is probably the biggest question is, you know, how is Steph seeing this offseason layout? You know, how would you sell Steph Curry, right? You know, how would you sell Steph on the direction of this franchise that he's largely responsible for? Mm-hmm. I mean, you talk about the valuation of teams. You don't get to be the second or third most valued franchise in the world without Steph Curry being at the forefront of it. I just think that, you know, in regards to marketing, like, obviously the Warriors were willing to swing. Like, they are willing to swing. I mean, they tried to trade for LeBron James at the trade deadline. They tried to pick, apparently, at Mikal Bridges. They obviously were willing to offer Paul George a 4-year max contract. They were willing to give him $220 million. So it's not as if they are a team that is just waiting in the wings, you know, kind of picking and choosing. But at this point in the offseason, I'm just not sure if there's anybody out there that I am comfortable enough with that I think moves the needle enough to beat the best teams in the West. And I'm not just looking at Dallas. Like, I don't think Dallas will represent the West. I think this was a year that they kind of fell into things. And I think it was very matchup based. I think if Denver gets past Minnesota, I think Denver beats Dallas. You know, I think Denver might have had a chance against Boston. We'll obviously never know. I think if Minnesota hadn't gone 7 games with Denver, hadn't, you know, essentially had a pound of flesh taken from them, I think they could have beaten Dallas. Maybe this year they take a step forward because they're a little young. Oklahoma City is still a team that is up and coming. And it's interesting too, like, I guess that's one part of the Markkanen deal that I didn't consider up until a couple days ago was, you know, I was reading that Oklahoma City was a big player for Lauri Markkanen. And they chose Isaiah Hartenstein. So Danny Ainge at this point might not have as much leverage as he did, say, 72 hours ago before Hartenstein signed, because Oklahoma City has probably the best package to offer of any team in the NBA. And the Warriors, if they're willing to overpay, which I would be less inclined to do, they might be able to outbid. And it sounds like the teams that they're competing with are San Antonio and Sacramento. So it sounds like you'd be willing to overpay and try and get Markkanen in here. I think to me, the bigger hangup for me is the picks. I know it's, you never know, but the bigger hangup for me is the picks over Kuminga, I think.
See, I could care less about the picks personally.
Okay.
Now, honestly, if I was Mike Dunleavy, I wouldn't care about the picks either. Mike Dunleavy isn't not on some contract where he's guaranteed to be here in 3 years. If the Warriors medal around just above 500, or they weren't really just above, then they were close to 50 games last year, right?
The Warriors?
Yeah, they were 10 games over 500.
46, yeah.
46. Okay, so, but either way, Mike Dunleavy, his job security isn't crazy good. I mean, it's not bad either. It's probably just like in the middle. But my point is, I wouldn't care all that much about draft picks if I was Mike Dunleavy either. Like, if it works out, I'm golden. If it doesn't work out, probably wasn't going to work out as is either. And I probably wasn't golden. You know what I mean? Like, so these, like, I wouldn't care about draft picks. And if I was Mike Dunleavy, take them. We need players. We need talent.
Yeah, that's true.
So we don't need any more Jags, as you call them. We need some players. So.
With all due respect. Mm-hmm. It sounds like Kevin and Fremont is with you, Jay. Let's get Kevin and Fremont on before we got to hit a break. 888-957-9570. Kev, how we doing, my man?
I'm doing great. As far as marketing, I can't see, so I can't drive. But I personally will go usher a limo to go pick him up at the airport as soon as we trade for him. Because Kuminga, first of all, you're going to have to wait. And once you extended Kerr to go along with the end of the current contract with Curry, you married yourself to veterans. That's who he's going to play. So I know Kuminga kind of made a jump, but he's not going to be ready to do the competing on the level that Curry wants. So you get rid of him. I mean, he might turn out to be a player 2 or 3 years from now, but we don't have 2 or 3 more years with Kerr and Curry. We just don't. So you get rid of him. You maybe have to attach the draft picks because, like I said, why are you worried about draft picks when you attach yourself to a coach who doesn't play draft picks? He doesn't trust young players. He wants veterans. So you got your veteran bench that you've been developing. You go out and get market in to have a true center who can score. He can grab rebounds. Okay, shots, but if you really want somebody to block shots, maybe you are able to keep, you already have Draymond Green. You have the guy that you drafted last year that was a 4-year college player. That probably won't go in that trade. And as far as I'm concerned, as long as you keep that guy, Trace Jackson Davis, I don't care who you give up, okay? But go ahead and go get that guy so you have a true center. Go with Kurt.
Interesting. All right. Thanks, Kev.
Yeah. Look, I'm kind of his opinion. Like, is when you got Steph Curry on the roster, you got to go for it. That's just how I'm thinking. And I get it. I don't know. Like, draft picks, obviously, they never matter till they matter.
Yep.
Of course.
And I think there's examples on both sides of it, working out and not working out. And we can dig into that more as we continue the conversation on the other side. Halfway home, 12-4, Evan Giddings, Jason Dumas here on 95.7 The Game. We'll be back after this. I see you all loaded up on the phone lines, 888-957-9570. We got full phones. I'll get to you on the other side. Malcolm, Fred, Cole, and Hunter on the other side on 95.7 The Game. We're back after this, all sponsored by Safeway.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Well, not in the club, but in the studio, Evan Giddings, Jason Dumas, 95.7 The Game, halfway home here on Independence Day, July 4th, a day synonymous with Golden State Warriors basketball, obviously because of Kevin Durant, some calling it KD Day, a day that shook up the league. I'm not sure we're going to have the same sort of result today, though, Jay. Everyone's looking for the big fish. Everybody's trying to hook this marlin that is Lauri Markkanen, the Finnish marlin, or I don't know what everybody's calling him, but I'm just not sure it's going to happen today.
Yeah, I've been scrolling Twitter and refreshing Twitter. I have my alerts on for Shams.
Yep.
And my phone's been dry. It's been dry.
Well, I'm glad. I mean, it's probably been flooded the last couple of days, so finally you get a break.
I'm mostly mute, so even the last couple of days, it's like, yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I got you. I think the last update we have Warriors related again is Buddy Hield officially becoming a Warrior via sign and trade, 3 years, $21 million. So he joins Kyle Anderson. The Warriors used the trade exception money that they got from Klay Thompson going back to Dallas or going to Dallas. They also included a 2031 second round pick they got from the Mavericks to acquire Buddy Hield. So they turned Klay Thompson into two role players. They also, of course, have used their mid-level exception about $13 million on D'Anthony Melton. But we're kind of surveying the land right now, talking about the offseason for the Warriors. What have you made of it so far? 888-957-9570. Also the number for the Xfinity mobile text line. Dude, people, well, I know you might be getting blown up on Twitter, Jay, but our text line is loving the fit from the 808. Jason Dumas looking real good the last couple days.
Hey, man, suited and booted. Look good, feel good. That's what they say, right?
And play good.
Yeah, look good, feel good, play good. So hopefully I have a nice performance the rest of these 2 hours, and then I have a nice, clean sports cast over there on Front Street.
No, you're on rolling.
Studios.
Do you ever feel like that because, you know, you're on air so much, and we'll get to the calls in just a moment, but because you're on air so much, it's almost like you're prepping for the next show with the previous show. Like, I mean, you're kind of, we're just talking sports. And I'm assuming the Warriors will be maybe, you know, a part of the show tonight. If not, there's something else you're working on. But it's almost like you get to prepare by doing. Do you ever feel like that?
Yeah, well, so we will, S6 on Kron will lead with Giants,
Braves
highlights. Then we'll roll into A's, Angels highlights. And then we will probably roll right into the Buddy Hield talk and mm-hmm. just some commentary and what's been reported, the particulars of the deal. Remember, TV, I don't really ever give my opinion on TV. I'm a fact presenter for Kron 4. Like, that is more my job. I'm a sports anchor. I tell the news. Every now and then I might slide in an opinion. It might come across a little bit in my writing, but more or less, I'm telling you what happened.
Yeah.
I'm giving you exclusive interviews. I'm breaking news, and I'm getting scoops. But it's not me telling my opinion. So radio is a little different of a medium. Then on our longer format show, Sports Night Live, which airs Monday through Friday on Kron 4, one of our sports reporter, the talented Erin Wilson of Kron mm-hmm. 4 News. You guys have probably seen her at Warriors games. She's going to be our 49ers beat reporter this year.
Oh, sweet.
Stepping in for Kate Rooney, who just took a job with our sister station in New York City. Shout out to Kate Rooney. She is a San Francisco native who uprooted her life to pursue her ambitions. So I know her kids are still here in the Bay, but they'll be joining her and her husband. Her kids and her husband will be joining her in the big city soon. So shout out to Kate Rooney. Very proud of her. Erin Wilson will take her role covering the 49ers. But today, Erin Wilson is out at the A's game. So she'll have a nice little post game report from the Coliseum. We'll have that on tonight on Sports Night Live, along with some more highlights. We'll probably get into fun stuff. We'll probably show some of these, the degenerates at the Nathan's hot dog eating contest. It's kind of, you know, it's 4th of July. So we're not like brimming with like content that is newsworthy.
Unless
something drops. Hopefully it does, and then that'll probably lead our show at 10:45. But to answer your point, yeah, you know, like by 11 o'clock tonight, you know, I will be very well versed in everything that happened today in Bay Area sports. And, you know, that it is what it is. It's just, you know, rinse and repeat, and you try to turn content and get scoops and get exclusive content that ABC7 and KTVU and the NBCs of the world and the KPIX, CBS aren't getting. That's how you try to set yourself apart. And, you know, we've been doing a pretty good job at that, I hope.
No, I think
numbers,
so.
The numbers suggest we have been.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes down to numbers.
Yep.
And what we're talking about is how the Warriors can kind of reconfigure their numbers, their financials, to swing a big trade. You know, it's your job to present facts on television. But here we get to opine on 95.7 The Game. We also get to include our audience. And I appreciate everyone hanging on patiently. Let's go back to the city. Bring on Malcolm. Wants to talk about the potential moves the Warriors have to make. What's up, Malcolm? Happy Independence Day. How are you?
Hey. What's happening, guys?
What's up, Malcolm?
First off, I took a drive through the Dakotas in the middle of February, and I feel you.
Oh man, I know you spent
time there, man. There was nothing colder. That's why I think the people are warm.
Yeah, that's the worst. That's the worst month of the year, too.
No doubt.
it was bad. Yeah. On my way from Missoula, Montana, to Minneapolis, Minnesota. But so real quick, two parts. One, and I guess I'm going to be a little bit of the contrarian. I'm going to preface this by saying I really like DeAnthony Melton. I think he's a great player. Slow-mo, you got to respect him. We played against him, but it has when he was with Memphis, et cetera. And Buddy Hield is Buddy Hield. I mean, he's the third best three-point shooter of our generation, right? So they are who they are. But in terms of giving a grade to Mr. Dunleavy, I don't think you can give him a grade because I tell you, when I saw Shams, which felt like a little bit of a premature let out that the Warriors were in discussion with the Sixers for Hield. All I could think was, okay, great. So we have Melton, we have Slow-Mo, and now we have Hield. This is the precursor to a big trade, right? We're filling in the role players. We're going to lose three of Kaczynski, Moody, GP2, Wiggins, or Kuminga, right? We're going to use three of those players in some kind of a deal. And that's why we got Melton, Slow-Mo, and Hield. What's that going to be? You know, I think if you have to give Dunleavy a grade on this at this point right now, if we end up with this, what we have, we just have a whole bunch of people fighting for the same roles, and we still have the biggest problem, which is our front court. We don't have anybody to contend with Jokic, AD, Cat and Gobert. Naz Reid, for that matter, you know, what they've assembled in OKC, with what Memphis is going to put up, what New Orleans is going to put up. Portland's going to be better. So I have to believe that all of this is a precursor to something else. And I wouldn't bet on us doing business with Ainge. But maybe it's marketing. So my question is, who else could it be? Because we may be, I think everybody's right. We may be 5, we may be 10. We're in the play-in, we're in the playoffs. We're 2 games better. We're just the same. The rest of the West is, you know, the same or better. That's all irrelevant when you get to the playoffs. You know, what are we going to do, you know, with our front court? We do not have one legitimate center. I mean, I'm sorry. Trace isn't a center. Draymond's not a center. Looney, I mean, is a small center. You know, we don't know about this guy Post. You know, Kyle Anderson can play some small ball, but I have to believe there's another move on the horizon, and it might not be marketing. So who could it be?
Yeah, thanks, Malcolm. I'm with you. I don't think they're done, but Jay, I'm just not sure it's going to be a trade that is going to make you go, oh my god.
So
it might be a trade that makes you go, oh my god.
So right now, if they're done, it would essentially kind of be like running it back, because we said this team would be similar to last year's. I think it'd be slightly better.
As far as the win total.
Yeah. I think it'd be slightly better. One, from the standpoint, I think the roster would be a little better when you consider Pajemski and Trace will probably be better just from natural progression. I would assume Kuminga would be better, too.
Yep.
Wiggins can't get much worse.
You'd hope.
You would hope. And Draymond would be a little more available.
Yep.
So just from that sense, I think you'd be better. And then you got it. I think the pieces you bring in, Melton, Hield, and Kyle Anderson, I just think they're good winning basketball players. I don't think Hield has ever really been a winning basketball player. He hasn't played much meaningful winning basketball on winning teams.
He wouldn't ask to star in the roles that he has before on non-winning
right.
teams.
And even Rich Hoffman yesterday, beat reporter for PHLY Sports, used to be beat reporter, Sixers beat reporter for The Athletic, very plugged in. Even Rich Hoffman said yesterday, it did seem that the intensity of the team in the city of Philadelphia was a little jarring for Buddy. You could tell you came from Indiana, a little, you know, everything is, even if we're mediocre 500, nobody's going to be breathing down your neck. And Sacramento before that or during that time was the same exact thing. He said you could tell the intensity was a little bit of a change up for Buddy Hield. The fan base is intense. The team was in absolutely win now mode. It was a little jarring for him. That's what Rich said. So I'm not sure Buddy Hield is a winning player, but Melton and Kyle Anderson absolutely are winning players. They have played for teams that have made deep playoff runs. They have played for teams that had high expectations, and they have been two players who helped those expectations be the way they were because they were good, solid role playing, battle-tested guys. So I do think this team would be better, but it's still capped. It's still capped. You know what I mean? Like, whether it's the 4 seed or the 9 seed in the play-in, it's still probably capped. It's still, like, not good enough to beat OKC, to beat Minnesota. But let me ask you this. You mentioned Markkanen, who you're not exactly comfortable with mortgaging the future.
Yeah.
When it comes to, like, a whole lot of
draft capital. I'm not willing to go all in for Lauri Markkanen.
Say you didn't have to mortgage the whole future, and the trade package for this particular player would be like 65% to 75% of the package that you would send to for Markkanen, maybe even half, but probably a little more than half, probably about 65%, 70%. Would you do about a 70% of what the perceived package of Markkanen is for Brandon Ingram?
Ingram's interesting. I don't think I would unless I could move off Kuminga, but I don't know why the Pelicans would want Andrew. Or sorry, if I could move off Wiggins, my bad.
Yeah. I know why they would want Kuminga.
No, sorry. If they could move off Wiggins. And they're
almost moving off BI for the same reason the Warriors would move off Wiggins.
Exactly. So that'd be a lateral trade. I don't think Ingram interests me that much. I mean, he can fill it up. But that's about it. I think Markkanen's the fit. I just don't think the cost is worth it. It's right. Interesting. And to your point about Hield too, that I guess that would be the one knock on him. I mean, I do think it's a little eyebrow raising that Indiana would trade a player that was at a point a starter for you in a team that was 5 games above 500 when they traded him. So it wasn't like Indiana needed Siakam to just flip their season. Like, they were winning basketball games.
What,
and they still traded Buddy.
What were those trade details? I should know because he went to a team that I am very connected to.
Yeah, so Buddy Hield was moved actually the day before they played the Golden State Warriors. And 3-team deal to the Sixers. Sixers sent Kormaz to the Pacers. And then the Sixers.
Furkan
and Kormaz. Marcus Morris and a second-round pick went to the Spurs, and then the Spurs traded Doug McDermott to the Pacers.
That's right.
So they essentially traded shooter for shooter. They just felt like McDermott was better than Buddy Hield.
It's funny. Korkmaz, he had requested a trade from the Sixers for like 4 straight years, and Sixers management was just like, dude, shut up. Like
we don't care.
Yeah, if you're in a trade, you're in a trade because it makes the trade happen. We ain't in no rush to trade you. We could care less if you don't want to be here. You don't move the needle enough. Obviously, they didn't say that to him, but that's what their actions said. They're like, oh, okay, that's cute. All right, still stand on the end of the bench.
I also think it was a good move for Philly because it freed up about $20 million in cap space.
100%.
They could use to get Paul George.
100%. So the thing I like about Brandon Ingram. Now, I don't think it would move the needle as much as Lauri Markkanen would from a fit perspective and even just from a talent perspective, to be honest.
You could pencil in 20 a game with him.
100%. You could. I think it would just be like kind of a Wiggins upgrade, and people are going to be like, Wiggins plays way better defense. Honestly, Wiggins has not been that great of a point of attack defender the past year. He hasn't. People just like... Yeah, ideally, Wiggins is a good defender, but he wasn't that great last year. He wasn't on the defensive end. So you just got to hope he, like, gets back to where he was, but he hasn't been great. But what I love about Ingram right now, I watched his, not the whole thing, but they were cutting clips. I follow a lot of Pelicans
people on Instagram from my time living in Louisiana. So, like, I lived in Baton Rouge. We work really closely with the New Orleans stations because New Orleans is only like a hour away. So I'm still connected to like Southern Louisiana Twitter from my days working down there. So I saw a lot of the clips they were posting of Brandon Ingram on his exit interview, and he was very transparent. He was like, you know what? This has probably been my worst season since I was a rookie, and it's unacceptable. I know I have to be better. I will be better. I felt it. I had some really dark days. Mind you, it's also a contract year for him. He didn't mention that part, but
yeah,
it's a contract year. He wants another payday. So obviously, if he has a similar year he had last year, it's going to significantly hurt his pockets. So he has financial motivation as well. So I think if the Warriors brought in a guy who has already expressed that his down year really, really had an impact on him negatively, and he is aware of it. He's not blind to the fact that he didn't play well. He has to be better. He wants to be better. Someone like that who is motivated to be better from within and financially, I do think he would come in and have a great season. It's kind of like Andrew Wiggins when he came in. Wiggins had a lot of motivation to play well, and he did. He got himself paid. I'm not saying Ingram comes in and he helps lead them to a championship, but he has a lot of motivation. And I would love to see it. I think a motivated guy like that would really help. I think he would come in here, and I think he's going to have a huge bounce back year wherever he is, not even if it was in Golden State. I just think from what I heard from him, I'm like, oh, yeah, that guy's going to have a good year next year. He's motivated. So why not have it in Golden State? But to your point, is it worth losing one of your young guys? I mean, there's no point on having him, Kuminga, and Wiggins on the same roster. There's just three players who are, Kuminga not as much right now, but three players more or less the same type of player, takes up the same space on the court. Mm-hmm. They're too redundant.
Yeah, no doubt. And that was a word used a lot between Wiggins and Kuminga last year by Steve Kerr. Of course, the guy that has to pull the trigger on all of this is Mike Dunleavy. But that's Jason Dumas, and my name is Evan Giddings. We're here on 95.7 The Game, taking up until 4 o'clock, July 4th, Independence Day. Happy Independence Day to all. And let's go out to a place I was actually in this morning, Richmond. Let's talk to Fred about Mike Dunleavy Jr. What's up, Fred? How are you?
Yo, Fred.
Hey, happy 4th of July to you guys. Thanks for letting me give a shout out to Dunleavy, man. I feel like he's been doing a great job. I mean, he took over a team that was over the apron times 10. You know what I mean? So the moves that he's making, they're certified, if you ask me. He's got some veteran that's going to come in and play with Steve and Steph and Draymond. I just wish the Warriors could just find a decent center. I mean, this Lauri Markkanen, I've watched him play. He's in Utah for a reason. I just don't. Honestly, y'all, I'm a Warriors fan. I just don't see it. I mean,
talk to me, Fred.
When Draymond goes against this kid, he annihilates him. Draymond annihilates a lot of players.
Draymond, that can't be the bar though, because Draymond.
Yeah, I understand.
He's a high level defender. And he's kind of intimidating.
Absolutely. But at the end of the day, through all our championship run, we did have Bogut. We had JaVale McGee. I mean, I think Trayce Jackson could do okay. I don't think he should be a starter. But I mean, like, if the Warriors could go find a deal for, like, Zubac or somebody like that, I don't think that it has to be an elite center. Just somebody who can go against Jokic and Sabonis and, you know, just give us a soft 20 minutes in a playoff series, because the Warriors are going to make the playoffs next year. No doubt about it. I don't care if they're the fourth seed. I don't care if they make it in the play-in. The fact that once the playoffs start, it's all matchup-based anyway. Dallas just proved that to us this last season, and they were not a good team. Luka and Kyrie made it to the finals. Let's just be honest. They got exposed. I appreciate Klay and everything he did for the team. He gambled on himself, and he lost. He could still be on the team for 2 years for the $48 million. People don't talk about that a lot. You got to understand, We paid him in 2019, and he gave us nothing for two seasons. Things happen. It's basketball. I would have loved to see them finish their careers together, but shout out to Clay, and he's going to find out the hard way these next couple of years. As playing with Kyrie and Luka, they're not like playing with Draymond and Steph.
I agree.
Thanks for having me on, y'all.
I agree. I've been saying, yeah, thank you for the call. Great call. I've been saying the same thing in terms of the fit with Dallas. A lot of people, oh, it's a great fit. I don't see it. Kyrie and Luka dribble the air out of the ball. And my problem with Dallas this year, obviously, they made a hell of a run in the postseason. I think they overachieved. I don't think they're as good as, like, it's hard to say that because they made.
I'm with you there, though. Yeah.
You don't have to, I don't want to take away credit, but they were a five seed. I think they got hot. They got some right matchups. And they made a hell of a run. Like I said, I don't know if they're staying power in it. I don't look at them as one of the favorites in the West next year. I really don't. But my one issue with them through the regular season and even in the postseason, and it was no more apparent than in the finals, Luka and Kyrie, they weren't able to, like, they had to take turns. Like, they would just take turns with the offense and being aggressive. It was never natural where they're playing off each other. It's just literally like one guy is on go and the other guy's kind of standing around, and then the other guy's on go, the other guy's standing around. Now you add Clay to that too. While these two are taking turns doing this, now I get it. Like, you can't leave Clay when they make their penetration, but I'm telling you, Clay is going to do a lot of standing around. You thought he shot hunted here in this free-flowing offense. He's going to shot hunt even more in Dallas because he's not going to know when the hell he's going to get his shots. I'm telling you, it is not going to be a great marriage. It is not. On the basketball court. He might love it there. He might appreciate them. I'm telling you, I do not see it on the basketball court. Two extremely ball-dominant players. It's hard to get a rhythm.
Well, right now the Warriors are trying to figure out who they might marry this offseason. Could it be Lauri Markkanen? Could it be Brandon Ingram? Is there another unnamed player that we're not talking about that's not on the radar that Mike Dunleavy Jr. is calling him and asking about right now? 888-957-9570 is the number. That's Jason Dumas. My name is Evan Giddings. I see you, Robert, Tim, Rich. We'll get to you on the other side, but we got to hit a break right here. And also remind you that the California Classic is coming to Chase Center in 48 hours, July 6th, a summer basketball showcase featuring the 2024 NBA draft picks, second year pros, and more players. Go to warriors.com to secure your tickets right now. All brought to you by Clean California. Remember, just one piece of litter can ruin the game. Zero litter is the goal. 888-957-9570 is the number. Giddings and Dumas back with you after this on 95.7 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number 1.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.